Lord Jesus, we do. We come to you thanking you so much. How tender you are. How long-suffering, Lord, and your love. Oh, you always let us know that you love us. Thank you, God, that we can never be separated from you because of the love of your Son. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the remission of sin. Thank you, Lord, for a life, God, that we've been given that is fully righteous and acceptable to you, Lord God, that you call to come boldly to you, the throne of grace. Lord, we are so rich and rich indeed. Help us, Lord God, to receive it even the more. Help us to grow up just a little bit more like you today. And maybe this the day, Lord Jesus, till we all come in the unity of faith. And Lord, we do. We're looking, we're loving, and we're longing the appearing of our bridegroom, Jesus. And it's in his name we say thank you and praise forever. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we're going to the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon. Love the Song of Solomon so much. And thanking God again, this is our story. This is the truth that was hidden in mystery. Praise the Lord. That the wondrous, wondrous gospel of full grace that was given to the Apostle Paul has now been made known by the Spirit to us. Hallelujah. And in the eighth verse, this is the Shulamite, this wonderful lady in waiting, this wonderful, goodly pearl, the one of grace. Hallelujah. She cries out in the eighth verse of the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. I am sick of love. I am overcome with love. I am overwhelmed with love. Specifically, I am weakened with love. I believe that's where weak in the knees came from. Pretty much all of those wonderful sayings that we have, they all come from the Bible some way, shape, or form. But I want you to know something. At this point in this fifth chapter, when she cries out, I am sick of love, and calls out for anyone to help him find him, she has gone through so much. And from the beginning, you think the insecurity that she went through, at the very beginning of the Song of Solomon, doubting that her appearance, doubting her faith, doubting, could he really love me like that? And then we see that there is the time that she was complacent, where the Lord was coming for her and had his hand right at the door to take her right then. But she said, I need to fix myself up, still thinking that there was something that she could do to ready herself for the bridegroom. Oh, Lord, help that speak to our hearts today, that it's grace alone, grace alone. I don't care how long we've heard this message. I don't care how long you've been in this message. It has to come to a point of your life where you let completely go of everything that you think that you could ever do and just completely lay hold upon the grace of God. We know that after that, she was then stirred in heart to pursue the bridegroom and to go after him. And she's beaten by those watchmen. She's discouraged. We know that the Word of God tells us that she was even discouraged by those that were her friends, those that knew of this truth. Oh, praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, all of these things happened, all of these things that she went through. From the very beginning, the bridegroom always let her know, thou art my fair one, my love. I love this. Even in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon, he's telling her, look, I've got my left hand behind you. I've got my right arm under you. And I've swept you off of your feet, and I'm here to kiss you. I think that's a sign that this fella is totally in love. Enamored like you can't imagine. But he was like that all the time. But now, praise the Lord, she finally cries out, I'm overwhelmed in love. Right after this, she begins to describe him. Oh, hallelujah. She begins to tell how beautiful he is to her and how ravished she is with him. But you know, brothers and sisters, it took some time, didn't it? It took all of those things that happened to her. And as the Lord touched my heart, sometimes we have to go through a lot of things with someone till you realize you are in love with them. And that's the sermon today. Sometimes you have to go through a lot of things with someone until you really, really realize, you know what? I'm in love with them. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly how it is with the lover of our soul, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't work any other way. It takes time. And in the beginning, we thank the Lord. He tells us that he saw us in love. He made it that way for him. The Word of God tells us that from the very beginning, we are his desire. We are what the purpose of grace is all for. Did you know that? The purpose of grace is all about you. The purpose of grace is all for you. That's why the Lord says, I have given you, all grace. Praise God. All of this creation, praise God, was made for you. That's part of my all grace. All of this that's being orchestrated today in this society, as we see the evil of man waxing worse and worse, and it's hard to see. But when you look into the Word of God and you look up, you understand, praise the Lord. Lord, you've created all of this for me. Without every bit of this, without these discouragements, without really the repulsiveness of this evil, it's not going away. It's going to wax worse. Let it be a joy to your heart seeing the Word of God, because he's bringing this to a finality. He's bringing it to the point, praise the Lord, that it is time to set your affections on the things above and not on the things of this life. I commend you, saints. I'm not hearing the things that we usually hear. Praise the Lord, come November and the first or second week around here. We're growing up. We know he's the one, praise God, that puts up and down whom he will. I have news for you. Your vote does not matter. I drive around here and look at these churches. Shame on them. Vote, 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 vote. Now, if you want to vote, that's your business. But I'm telling you, your confidence better be in the Lord. And your confidence, by the grace of God, better not be in man. Not in a school to take care of your kid. And I'm talking even a private school or any of those things. Let me tell you something. The house of bread better be in your home. Amen. And first and foremost for you. And the Lord, praise God, we even heard of the testimony. Brother David brought forth a precious sermon on Friday. The faithfulness of God to Joseph. Taking him out of that beautiful home, that loving home, godly home. That wonderful heritage of Christ, the blood of the Lamb in that home. And God would take that life and stick him right in the center of hell itself. I'm not kidding. Man, they had so many gods like today. Pagan as pagan can be, like today. But God. And I thank the Lord that we can truly have a heart and faith like the mother of Moses. I can't do a thing, but God, you gave him to me. I commit him to you. I'm going to put him in the basket. I'm going to put him in that little ark. I'm going to put him in you, and I'm going to trust God for my son's life. You can't manufacture this. You can't do this with a list. There's not a checkbox. That's why, by the grace of God, I thank the Lord. You don't find the Ten Commandments in here. And they're wonderful. And they're wonderful because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of them. And I thank the Lord that God gave them for me to see. Oh, man, what a guilty wretch I am. But thanks be to God for the blood of the Lamb that took it all away from me, that nailed it to the cross, The law and the ordinances that were against us, he took them. He gets the glory. He's the one that's magnified. Thanks be to God. And I rejoice not only for my life, I rejoice for your life. I'm so thankful that whom he's made free is free indeed. You're the beauty of the Lord. You're, praise God, the beauty that comes out of the ashes. Every single one of us. What a glorious family this is. It's wonderful. Rejoice in it. Don't be jealous of your brother or sister in Christ. Don't. Don't be like that. Be thankful for him. Be thankful for any life making moves towards the things of God. Quit trying to investigate what they're doing, how they're doing, all of that. You know what? Just love them. Love them. That was, I will tell you, and there are people in here, been here a long time. We had the investigators, and those were the watchmen. And I mean that. And I know there must be heresies in here, because the Lord of God said, there must be heresies among you. But I'm not here to find the heresy. God will deal with you. God will deal with it. But I'll tell you this. I'm here to run. I'm here to run well. I'm here by the grace of God to have this word to work in my life. And thanks be to God that his love is shed abroad in my heart. That our love for one another would grow more and more to one another. That as we go through these things, and whether I took it well or I didn't take it well, you're still praying for me. And you're still believing God for my life like I believe God for your life. I do believe that he is able. Do we not believe that he's able? To keep that which what? Which I've committed. There's no other focus but him. And we commit it to him. Amen? Yes. You talk about a keeper, and oh, how he'll do it. But I thank the Lord. See, that's the life and that's the journey that we have. Every single one of us. We didn't fall in love right away. Oh no. It's a beautiful message. It's a beautiful proposal. You said you'd go. But let me tell you something. He's the rock. He's the strength. And the Spirit, by the grace of God, is all your inspiration. It ain't you. You're not going to bring it up. You're not going to perk it up. It's got to be the word of his grace. And hearing that. And the joy of it. And the fellowship of it, brothers and sisters. But it is, it's going to take time. And you're going to have to go through a lot of things with him until you realize, you know what? I'm in love with him. Praise be to God. Now, that is the lover of our soul. That is exactly how he does it. And he waits. The word of God says in Isaiah 30:18. I love this verse. Mark it. I'm serious. Memorize this in your heart. Isaiah 30:18, it says, and therefore will the Lord wait. Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. He just waits to be gracious to you. He waits just for you to take his grace. He's awaiting, praise God, all of these beautiful times and moments that he just floods you with grace. And who does he give grace to? The humble. So I can see that when I'm in my pride, when I'm in my, oh, I'm in my Christian, being a good Christian zone, that's oftentimes I'm not growing in grace. Huh? Greatest growth I've ever had in grace, I'll just tell you. A lot of times I'd say, now I don't want to revisit again, but I'm glad to God I never missed them. I would not be the man I am today without the abundance of that grace in my failure. Without the revelation, praise the Lord, of his mercy in my unbelief. Without his perfect keeping, praise be to God, in the purpose of his will. That's God. And that's how God does it. And I thank the Lord, he's making it real simple for my life. It was Noah, it wasn't his brother. It was David, it wasn't his brother. It was Ruth. It wasn't her sister or her friend or anything. It's you. It's you. And we can say, how does that work? It's grace. It's just it. And you take it. You just take it. It's grace. It's freely given. You take it. You know, it's like the manna that was there every morning for them. Did they question where it came from or how it was? Did we do a check on it? You know, how much protein, carbohydrate? No, you just ate the stuff because you know what? It was your food. And it was given of God. And you didn't question it. He just gave it. He gave them water out of a rock. Think how much he's given you. And by the grace of God, I want to have that simple faith. Well, God gave this to me. Well, here's how you know what God gave you. It's right here. You don't have to question in your life, well, does God want me to do that? Just walk. Have your conversation with him. Don't talk to yourself. You're not going to get yourself anywhere. It's the truth. Now, throughout the Word of God, I want you to understand this. You see this metaphor of we got to go through a lot of things with somebody before you really realize you're in love with them. And there's some outstanding love stories in this Word of God, and we know them. I thank the Lord. But in the love story that we find throughout the Word of God, these different ones, we understand there's much more than on the surface. There was a mystery in all of those things. The Word of God says that those prophets, those stories were written for us, not just to read, but there was a mystery that was laying underneath all of these things. And it's a perfect pattern, and you begin to see it over and over. And especially this pattern of, it takes some time to really know that you're in love with somebody. Now, I want you to take, for instance, thinking of this. How about Jacob proving his love for Rachel? All right, I pray you know that. If you don't, get back in there and read it. But he loved this woman from the very moment that he saw her. And he was willing, very willing, and gladly willing. He said to her daddy, I'll work 7 years for you, for nothing, to have her hand in marriage. Because I love her that much. I want her to be mine. Now, when that happened, Rachel knew that Jacob loved her. That guy's not going to work 7 years for me if he doesn't love me. He must think I'm pretty good. So that was awesome and all of that. But we know what happened in that story. That dad deceived Jacob. And he did. And he said, oh, wait a second here. It's the night of the consummation of that marriage. Because he'd given her 7 years. They had to wait. That's perfection, you know. But here, Jacob's all excited. And who shows up? It's her older sister. Well, old Laban tells him, well, that's not our custom here. We can't give away her younger sister first. You got to take the older one. He knew that all the way along. I could say a lot of different words, but not a good person. But God had a plan in this. And so what happens is Laban says, well, if you'll do another 7 for me, son, I'll give you Rachel. And so Jacob agreed. And it was so sweet, brothers and sisters, because that wasn't meant for evil, it was meant for good. And I see this in this precious encouragement that, see, Rachel knew that Jacob loved her. But then to go another 7 years, he really loved her. And she knew, and it was so sweet that he would say this, that time, it only felt and seemed like a few days. And I take that thinking of our Lord and how he speaks of us. He's seen us since beginning in love. And he's been waiting that long for us. And I hear him whisper to me, oh, honey, it's only seemed like a few days. Do you think that Rachel fell in love with Jacob because of that? You know it. Now, how about Adam? You can think about him proving his love for Eve. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that it was Eve who was deceived, not Adam. It's interesting that it goes back and it says that specifically. It was Eve that was deceived and not Adam. But instead of Adam saying, well, sorry about that, and leave her in death alone, he gladly took of that fruit. And I thank God he gladly took of that fruit, and he knew it would be death. But without her, it would be worse than death. Without her, we could even say it would be hell. But I will tell you this, I'm sure she fell helplessly in love with him for that. I do. And do you see that's the love of Christ with us from the very beginning. The lamb slain, he being made sin for us, he taking death for us, he entering hell for us to be with us forever. I'm in love with him. Amen. But see, how about with Boaz proving his love for Ruth? There she comes and, you know, she's just hoping to be part of some family. I need somebody to really marry, whatever, somebody to take care of me. My husband's died. It's not looking good. I'm with my mother-in-law and she's kind of fussy. No offense. And, you know, it's just not looking real good. I need to marry somebody. So here she goes, and God's got an appointment for her. And this fella named Boaz sees her. He says, oh, my, I'm in love with her. And you don't put her in any other field but my field. And then you have her glean right there where I want her to glean. As a matter of fact, it was the barley gleaning. That was the first harvest. I want her to have my very best because she's my prize. And it was so beautiful because all of that transpired. And do you think, I'll tell you what. And then he redeems her and he makes her his wife. And do you think then at that moment, not only did she know that, boy, he really thinks I'm like sliced bread. It was, no, he's in love with me. Now, we're finally going to speak about one we speak about a lot. We think about Esther. Amen. You think about that little orphan girl. She admired the king. She knew he loved her. And then after that, he'd made her queen. After he told her he loved her, after his love exceeded her more than all the other women, it came to a point where there was a pressing trial. And that pressing trial, she thought, was to prove her faith and her love for God's people. Because that trial that came to the land at that time was there was a trick that was played on the king, and the king committed something in his oath that would destroy all the Jews in the land. They were going to be completely exterminated. But she was called, and she thought that her calling was to prove her faith and love for God's people, and she was going to risk her life to save her people, the Jews. But brothers and sisters, as we know the word of God, it was far more than that. Oh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was using this and using this trial to reveal to her how much the king loved her. And when it was time for her to come before the king, brothers and sisters, to ask favor to save her people, it says that he looked at her, he held out that scepter to her, which was so gorgeous and beautiful. And that's grace and grace alone. He said, well, honey, surely I'll do that. We'll take care of all those people. But I want you to know this. I'll give you everything up to half of the kingdom. And matter of fact, that translates, honey, I'll give you everything because what's mine is yours. Now, she knew for some time that he really loved her. Amen. I mean, he made her queen. It said that his love and favor, and he showed grace to her more than any of the other women. But it took that, it took all of that trial to come to the place that, no, wait a second, he don't just love me. He's in love with me. Amen. And you don't think that little Esther fell in love with him at that time? He's been waiting on us for some time, hasn't he? Amen. But that's exactly how it is with the lover of our soul, brothers and sisters. He's patient. And he waits to give you grace. He's not waiting to hit you with a hammer. He's not. He's been in love with you from beginning. Know the word of God. He saw you in him in love, in love. Amen. The path he's strewn for us and the foreordained good works that we should walk therein, he knew it would bring us to the time that we're rejoicing even right now. Lord, you're in love with me and I'm in love with you. I thank you, Jesus. It's so spectacular. Your love, your wooing is so amazing. You've taken me through all these things to truly fall in love with you. That the one who has apprehended me, as he said, apprehended me in love from beginning, that now, praise be to God, through all of these things, I've apprehended him. And I'm in love. I pray you really begin to see, to understand, and to know. And if the Lord tarry, I'm still going to have confidence in him to do it. But why wait? Why try to get ready any longer, huh? How many times do you want to miss him at the door? I've missed him a few times. I ain't going to miss him again. I'm just waiting. I know he loves me just as I am. I know he's gone out from the religious to meet me at a well. I know that he's left ones that thought they really knew him and were the right ones, where I was sitting by myself wondering, God, why would you have anything to do with me? That's the beloved Lamb that's in love with you. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. The way of the blood. Father, we do thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're again in awe of your love to us. Lord, thank you again for the word of your grace and the anointing of your Spirit upon our lives that enlightens our eyes to see this and to know these things. Lord, help us today to have the encouragement of grace and the urgency, Lord, of your mercy to make the move. And Lord, just to continue to look to you and for our households, Lord God, to wait upon the Lord, that we would be ones that would live together, vessels of love that would encourage one another. God, help us to encourage those that are the closest to us. Help us to love those in our household. God, help us to be patient and kind as you have been with us. Lord, help us to be long-suffering as you always are with us. Lord, help us to not be quick to complain and quick to judge. Lord, help us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Lord, help me to keep my eyes upon Christ in my brethren. Lord, help me to truly to love them with the love that I'm loved with. Lord, thank you for the perfection of your love in your saints. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. All glory, all honor, all thanks be to our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.